Congressman Tom Garrett is nearing the end of his first year in Washington, representing Virginia's 5th Congressional District. It includes Franklin County, much of Bedford County, and he joins Evan Jones and me live this morning on the phone. Congressman Garrett, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Joey. How are you?
Doing fine, thanks, and we are glad, we appreciate you taking time to call us, and I'm sure our listeners do as well. Now, if we can, Congressman, we're going to start with health care. President Trump is taking or promising steps in recent days that seem designed to eventually cripple or dismantle the Affordable Care Act. Congressman Garrett, are you as confident as the president that these steps will lead to lower price health care for most Americans?
The Affordable Care Act crippled and disabled itself. I mean, if you'd have bought $100 worth of United Healthcare stock the day before the ACA passed, it'd be worth $600 now. The only people that have won are the big healthcare providers. Meanwhile, citizens have seen their premiums go up 2-4-fold. Deductibles for a family are now in the $5,000-$6,000 range. Meanwhile, a family of four, 54% of them can't find $500 in case of an emergency. So if you can't pay your deductible, but you got coverage, what they ought to call it is the Unaffordable Coverage Act instead of the Affordable Care Act. The recalcitrance on the other side of the aisle has been sort of mind-numbing to behold. We got President Obama who says that there in October of 2016 said the Affordable Care Act needed real help. You got Bill Clinton who said it's the craziest thing in the world. You got Democrat Governor of Minnesota Mark Dayton who says the Affordable Care Act isn't affordable, and there are no ideas from the other side of the aisle to help repair it. So I think President Trump, you know, is in sort of a desperation phase at this point. If I'm going to find fault with the president, it's going to be on how he messages some things. But ultimately, the increase in health care costs is unsustainable, and we have to do something. So I think this is his sort of Hail Mary pass.
Congressman, this is Evan Jones. Good morning. Let's turn our attention to Iran. The president is expected to decertify the international nuclear deal with Iran as soon as today. He calls it a terrible deal for this country. The UN nuclear watchdog says Iran is complying with restrictions on its nuclear program to keep it from developing atomic bombs. So who's right?
So the restrictions are actually weaker than the UN sanctions that preceded the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal. And let me give you a tangible example. In 2010, 5 years before we had the Iran nuclear deal, the UN Security Council, that means the Russians and the Chinese agreed, passed Resolution 1929 that said Iran may not develop ballistic missiles to deliver nuclear weapons. May not. Now, the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal that President Trump is rightly upset with, says Iran is called upon not to develop ballistic missiles. So they've actually made a weaker deal. The Iranians have been developing missile technology. They are in coordination with the North Koreans. We've seen all this before. In the 1990s, President Clinton, and I would ask your listeners to Google it, stood up before an audience and said the North Korean nuclear deal will ensure an end to nuclear tension in that region. Fast forward 23 years. We're on the brink of calamity at the very least at the regional level and conceivably here in the United States as it relates to a rogue regime with nuclear weapons. Even President Obama said that the JCPOA, the Iran nuclear deal, would do nothing to prevent Iranian nuclear weapon development after 10 years. And so not recertifying the Iran nuclear deal, there's a lot of Chicken Little screaming that the sky is falling, doesn't end the deal. It simply gives the United States, and I would concede unilaterally, some leeway to negotiate a better deal, because what we've seen with North Korea and now with Iran is a series of political leaders, to include Republicans, because the Bush administration called North Korea part of the axis of evil and then walked away, but a series of leaders make bad nuclear deals, kick the can down the road, then declare victory, and then it manifests itself on our children and the next generation. So I support the president in trying to relook at this deal. I think it is a horribly bad deal. I don't know how you go from shall not develop missile technology to is asked not to develop missile technology and call it a good deal. Again, decertifying or not recertifying does not trash the deal. It sort of gives us a little bit of latitude to try to work towards a better deal.
We are speaking with 5th District Republican Congressman Tom Garrett in his first term in Congress. District includes all of Franklin and parts of Bedford County, along with a large area from Southside Virginia to well north of Charlottesville. You're on the House Foreign Affairs Committee, so with that still in mind, Do you think the president's public threats and pronouncements regarding North Korea and its leaders increase the chances of armed conflict?
I hope they decrease the chances of armed conflict. What the Koreans have learned since 1952 over the course of three different members of the Kim family, a grandfather, father, and now son, is that the West has no resolve to back with concrete action the demands that it makes as it relates to disarmament or at least the abandonment of nuclear ambitions. There's been no demonstration of willingness to put our proverbial money where our mouth is. Now, I wore the uniform. I served in the Army. I do not want to see an armed conflict. But if you remove the possibility of kinetic action, of armed action to dismantle the North Korean nuclear program, then what's the incentive for the North Koreans? The people of that country, who are not guilty, have been starving to death for 30-plus years, and the leaders turn a blind eye, all whilst importing prostitutes from Europe and living, you know. Google search the Kim regime, Looney Tunes cartoons, caviar, and Western European prostitutes are really what these guys dabble in while their people starve. So I don't want to see an armed conflict, but I think that they've gotten 70 years of conditioning that we won't put our money where our mouth is. The Japanese and the South Koreans are the ones who are really in the crosshairs here, and I think that we need to stand strong. So the rhetoric is certainly coarse, but I think it's appropriate in light of the catastrophic implications of a nuclear armed North Korea.
8:51 on the Roanoke Valley's Morning News. We are speaking to Congressman Tom Garrett this morning, representing Virginia's 5th Congressional District. Congressman Garrett, President Trump has left it up to Congress to decide if Dreamers should be given legal status. They are children of people who came here illegally or permanently overstayed their visas. Now, under what circumstances or conditions, Congressman, should they be given that status?
What we need to do first, because President Reagan dealt with this on a smaller scale in the 80s, is we need to define what a childhood arrival is. I would differentiate between a 3-year-old who may not even speak their parents' native tongue and a 17-year-old who came up alone and joined MS-13, number one. Number two, we have to couple border security with any sort of immigration reform as it relates to the young people who either brought here or came here on their own. We have to do it at the same time, not this, then that. If you do this, then that, we've had funding for border security in 2006. We had it in 1986 during the Reagan agreement, but we never put the money where we said we were going to. And so you got sweeping sort of amnesty and a increased inflow in this century of immigration with no border security. So what you do then is you just resolve the same problem every 15 or 20 years, unless you do the two things at the same time. But having said that, again, if you're brought here at 3 years of age and don't speak your parents' native tongue, then we absolutely have a job to do in figuring out what the appropriate action of Congress is. If you come here right now, if you're 17 and 364 days, you're treated the same as if you are you know, if you arrive when you're a week old. That's ridiculous. So, you know, these things are complex, but that's why we get paid the proverbial big bucks. So.
And we are speaking with Congressman Tom Garrett. As we've mentioned, you are nearing your first year, completing your first year in the House of Representatives. Now, we've heard Virginia's elected leaders of both parties always trumpet how things get done better in Richmond than in Washington. Well, you're a former state senator, so from your perspective, what actually gets done better in Washington?
Oh, wow, nothing. I was telling my wife yesterday that I longed for the good old days of arriving in Richmond in January and passing a bill by February. I mean, you know, we have good legislation here that I know would pass the floor with bipartisan support that can't get a subcommittee vote. And it's even worse on the Senate side. We've passed, I don't know how many more bills out of the House than they have the Senate, but we pass bills out of the House and they sit and they languish. Or in the worst case scenario, you see somebody like Senator McCain, who promised to take action on things like lowering premiums and deductibles for healthcare, who can't find a single plan. I think he's now had three or four chances that he's willing to support. So that makes you wonder whether he's more interested in a personal animosity and feud with the president or doing what he said he was going to do or whether he ever even meant it. And so, it is frustrating. Having said that, you know, Winston Churchill once said of democracy, it's the worst system in the world except for all the others. I think he might have been onto something. So we're going to keep on plugging.
Congressman Tom Garrett, thank you very much. And congratulations to you and Flana on the recent birth of your daughter, Sheridan.
All right. It's 8:55. And Congressman Tom Garrett, we appreciate you joining us this morning on the Roanoke Valley's Morning News. And hope you have a good weekend.
You all have a great day.